You're listening to the WGU Alumni Podcast, a podcast all about noteworthy night owls. Join us each episode as we highlight WGU alumni and share ways to help you stay engaged. Here now is the WGU Alumni Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 24 of the WGU Alumni Podcast. I am Sarah Van Winkle, joined by my co-host, Jeff Burton. Hey, Jeff, how are you today?
Hello, Sarah. I'm well. You?
You know what? I'm doing really well, and I'm excited about this podcast today because the next guest that we have, our next alum, has quite the life story, and it touches on a subject that is one of my favorite things to talk about.
What is that, Sarah?
Music. Tell us a little bit about Robert Cross in your interview.
Robert is awesome. He is an accomplished healthcare exec. He earned his MBA from WGU, and I believe he's coming back, and he's a current student in the Master of Health Leadership program. Great guy, super accomplished, again, in the Austin area, and as you referenced, he's a musician, and we're going to get into this with him a little bit, but he's in the Texas Music Legends Hall of Fame, and he's kind of got a cool story.
I mean, how cool are our alumni? Seriously, I'm not joking when I say that. We have some really great, fun, and super accomplished alumni, and we're trying our best to highlight as many as possible on this podcast, but we really do have some cool, interesting folks within the WGU Alumni Network.
We sure do. And this is a great interview. I think people will enjoy it. And Robert is one of those we might have to invite back for a second episode because sadly, you know, I asked him more questions focused on his work and his professional life. We had a couple of questions that were a little bit on the music stuff, but I think this guy's got stories that are second to none in the music business, with the places that he's been. And so anyway, maybe Robert would be kind enough to join us. And Sarah, I don't have very good taste in music. I think you and him could go toe-to-toe with your music stories, don't you think?
Well, I think he would beat me hands down with the music stories. He's actually worked with these folks and, played with them. And I just listen to them and go watch them in concerts. But I would love to hear more of these kinds of stories, as you know. And maybe if we were offline, he would be willing to tell us some of the stories he couldn't tell us on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a few of those. So
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. Well, he's an excellent guest. So Sarah, if it's okay, let's jump into the interview.
Let's do it.
Robert Cross is an accomplished healthcare executive and WGU MBA alum and current WGU Master of Health Leadership student. He is the Assistant Director of Operations for the Value Institute for Health and Care at the University of Texas at Austin, Del Med, a renowned organization in healthcare transformation. A native Texan, the health value work that Robert does is complementary to the work done here at WGU's Accountable Care Learning Collaborative. A cool fact is that Robert is a member of the Texas Music Legends Hall of Fame, and previous to his work in healthcare, he was CFO and helped build a top 10 public radio station. We are thrilled to have Robert on the podcast today. Hello, Robert.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing well, and I must add that you've got a great radio voice that puts my voice to shame.
Thanks.
Now, where are you calling in from today? Where is home?
Right now, I live in Austin, Texas. I've been here since 93 and with the University of Texas since around 2001.
How's Austin, Texas today?
It's okay.
Very good. Austin is one of the coolest cities in the country, but you know that.
Yeah, it's changed a lot since I first got here. It's grown tremendously in the last 10 years, and it's a pretty cool place to visit and a nice place to live.
Excellent. Well, Robert, I want to jump into the health value work that you're doing, but before we get there, just to kind of help us get to know you a little bit better, I want you to expound upon the Texas Music Legends Hall of Fame, because not a lot of us can say that. So tell us more about that designee.
Well, basically growing up, I had two things that I could do in life. One was business, and my grandmother used to always joke that my grandfather read to me the Wall Street Journal instead of bedtime stories, and my first words were call option. And the other was music. I remember a time I wasn't at a piano or a guitar or whatever, and my grandmother played piano for silent movies, I mean, in her life. So it was a very musical family. One of my great uncles was a fiddle player with Bob Wills. So I kind of grew up in that aspect of it. And I started working in the honky-tonks in Northeast Texas at around 16, playing five nights a week. So yeah, I was a musician and songwriter for a long time.
That is great. What instruments do you play?
I can pretty much play whatever I want, some better than others, but my primary ones when I was performing were, of course, piano, guitar, drums, that sort of thing.
What musicians do you listen to or who do you follow?
Oh my gosh, I listen to almost every style of music that there is. Right now I'm in a really big New Orleans frame of mind because I haven't been able to get back to the city in a long time. So I've been listening to Kermit Ruffins, a lot of Ellis Marsalis, you know, that area right now.
Well, very cool. And I also wanted to ask you real quickly about the work that you did with the radio station. So what station was that? And tell us a little bit about that experience of building a top 10 public radio station in the country.
That was a great opportunity. I came to the university from the outside world of business. And so when the job at KUT came open for basically financial and operations manager, I jumped at it because it was combined kind of two halves of things that I knew, the music industry and business. We formed a new management team. There was a new general manager that came in, and there were three of us hired, one for programming, one for development, and me for operations and finance and accounting and admin and all that. And we worked together to build it. It was about 3.6, maybe 3.7 million as a department, and had a lot of university funding at the University of Texas when I got there. And when I left to go to the Value Institute at the university, we were right at a $24 million company, probably. Wow. With a new building that was completely paid for, studios, and another signal. The station is KUT, KUT Radio in Austin. If you want to stream it, that's the new station, KUT.org. And the other is the 24/7 music station, which really focuses on local Austin-based and Texas-based music, which is KUTX.org. And it's a really good thing. And if you ever want a really fun time on Friday afternoons, beginning at 4 p.m. Central Time, one of my friends from KUT, who's now retired, still comes back. He was an original DJ in Detroit, and he does the Happy Feet dance party on Friday afternoons. And it's a lot of old R&B and dance. It's really a great time. It's a good station.
I'm going to have to look it up. Yeah, go check that out. And we'd encourage our listeners to do the same. So, Robert, I wanted to ask you, you kind of have a background in music and in business, as you've indicated. What attracted you to the healthcare space?
Actually, I started doing volunteer work in it years ago. I lived in New York in the early 80s, and of course, when the HIV/AIDS pandemic began. And so I was an original member of ACT UP in New York, which was the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, worked, you know, as a volunteer with a ton of stuff up there. And so I became very focused on health issues through that. And then just keeping on with activism in the HIV/AIDS arena. And when I moved back to Texas and branched out. My mother had very bad heart problems. She had congenital heart problems. And so even as a business person, navigating healthcare was really, really, really difficult. So I began to just look at that. And I found, interestingly enough, I found some writing on it in the Harvard Business Review from Michael Porter and Elizabeth Teisberg based on, they wrote a book called Redefining Healthcare. And it was about how the market didn't really advance healthcare the way it does with other industries and why healthcare doesn't necessarily serve the whole of the patient. And I found that fascinating. And interestingly enough, as I was getting ready to leave KUT and KUTX, Dr. Teisberg came to the University of Texas and founded the Value Institute for Health and Care. And what they are focused on is being the epicenter of the discussion and the transformation of healthcare to a value-based patient-centered view. And it was just something I couldn't pass up the chance to be a part of. To do what you do and have it make an impact in the world is priceless. And it's what kind of motivates me to keep going.
That is great. And what year was that that you joined?
I've only been there a little over a year. So it was last year, 2019.
Okay. And since you've been there, what stands out to you among the work that you do? Tell us a little bit more about the Institute.
The Institute is founded on the principle of transforming healthcare. The first thing that the Institute stood up and really did that I'm extremely proud of the team for, we launched last year the first cohort for a master's in healthcare transformation, which is a one-year program out of the Macomb School of Business that is taught by the Value Institute staff and other professors on the University of Texas campus. It's for career stage people, not necessarily like people coming directly right out of undergrad. So it's designed for people that are in the midst of their career. And the cohorts they put together are people of all various and sundry timeframes in their career and experience levels. And so they learn as much from each other as they do from the professors. And it's just this really great hybrid online, in-person, asynchronous teaching platform that has been just very successful. They graduated the very first class in August, and the second one is going right now. And, you know, to create a whole entire master's program and write it and create all the assets and do that within a year is pretty amazing. But that's totally the team that I work with. Dr. Teisberg, Elizabeth Teisberg, and Scott Wallace have assembled one of the most amazing teams I've ever had the privilege of working with.
Thank you, Robert. And I'm curious, for those of us that aren't in the healthcare space, I mean, this obviously is a very important industry to our national economy, to healthcare in general. Any thoughts on the landscape and kind of trends and where you see the field going over the next, 5 to 10 years?
I think what is called value-based healthcare, which is basically based on the outcome for the patient per the dollars spent. That is what defines value. And so it's a shift from thinking of the whole healthcare business model of a fee-for-service model into one that's based on outcomes overall for the patient. And I think that the next 5 years is going to be a major movement in that area. We've seen some of the big drivers, the big payer drivers, such as the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. They've started to really play in this arena where their reimbursement models are going towards value-based reimbursement models, outcome-based reimbursement models, and so are a lot of the other payers. And we're seeing capitation come back into the market, which is an ACOs, accountable care organizations, which are part of that movement and part of a value-based healthcare structure. I was reading a statistic somewhere, and I can't quote it exactly, but something like in the last 5 years, over half of the providers now are saying that they are working in some form and some piece or in some collaboration with a value-based and an outcomes-based healthcare component. So I think it's the wave of the future. It certainly is what I believe and feel that healthcare needs to become.
Yeah, that's great. Wanted to ask you, kind of looking back over the last year, is there one or two things that you've accomplished, you and your team, that you're most proud of?
The thing I'm proud of entirely is standing up the master's and graduating the first class. That class began last August in 2019 and runs for 1 year. So they graduated in August of 2020. The team had to deal with so many operational issues during this time frame. I mean, think about it. This was the first time they had taught a class. And then halfway through it, we all went into work remote because of COVID. And so we were no longer together as a team, and we were in the virtual world. And there were just so many hurdles this team had to pull off to successfully do this launch and the first cohort. And they did it without even a hiccup. It was one of the smoothest things I've ever witnessed. So I'm extremely proud of that. And the fact that we graduated that first class, I'm proud of all the students that were in that first class. They have to do what's called an experiential learning project. This project in Teams runs across the entire spectrum of the program. And watching their presentations and how working with them on how diversity can be put into those was just really, I mean, it was very hopeful. It made me really, really hopeful for the future of healthcare.
Very nice. I want to shift over and ask you a little bit about your experience at WGU. As I introduced in the bio, you hold a MBA degree from WGU, and I understand you've returned to seek a Master of Health Leadership degree. Can you share a little bit about the desire to return for an additional degree from WGU?
After I finished my MBA, it was right at the time that I went to from KUT, KUTX Radio, into the Value Institute. And one of the things I wanted to get up to speed quicker on was actually on the healthcare business models, because that's kind of the arena that I play in. I had seen that WGU had launched the Master in Health Leadership program. And so it just was a natural transition to continue on right after the MBA to the Master in Health Leadership.
Robert, this has been great, and we appreciate you joining us today. I wanted to ask you, you know, when you're not studying texts or taking assessments here at WGU, are you reading any books for fun or listening to any podcasts to gain additional insight into the industry?
Well, yeah, actually, I've just started listening to the one that your Accountable Care Learning Collaborative, I think is what it's called, The Race to Value. Started listening to that. I listen to a lot of podcasts that come out of NPR, obviously, and public radio. I served on the board for the Association of Independents in Radio, which is the organization that supports freelance journalists. And a lot of those are working in the podcast sphere. So I listen to a lot of different ones. I mean, you know, I listen to World Have Your Say is a really great program. And I think they're now podcasting parts of it. It's really, really good. It's out of London and the BBC. So I listen to, oh God, everything. And book-wise, I haven't had a lot of time for reading beyond textbooks lately. I mean, right now I'm reading the healthcare finance textbook. So I haven't had a lot of time for that. But when I do have time, I really like Pat Conroy, books by Pat Conroy. He's a really good author. I mean, he's one of the best Southern writers of our generation. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, also, I wanted to ask, once this pandemic lifts and travel conditions are kind of back to normal, do you have a place that you're desiring to get to quickly?
Well, I think if it gets to the point, and I've actually thought about going down there even while it's going on, but it's, I go back to New Orleans. New Orleans is one of literally almost my home away from home. And I miss my people down in the city. And so I definitely make a trip there just to check on everybody, if nothing else. And I'm also planning a trip already to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico next year around February, if it all comes together. And one of the things the Value Institute will be launching is an international conference on value-based healthcare. We're targeting the first one to be late 2021, and it'll probably be in Brussels, Belgium. So I'll be spending some time over there getting that set up. So it should be interesting.
Nice. Okay, Robert, one final question I wanted to ask you. What advice would you have for those that are getting involved in the value-based care space? What should they know about the industry? And again, kind of trends, you touched on this earlier, but just general advice that you would have for those interested.
I think I would seek out conferences and things. It's what I did when I started to learn about it. When I came to the Value Institute, I really had a rudimentary knowledge of what it even meant. I had read some in Harvard Business Review. There's great articles. If you go there and search their archives on value-based healthcare, there's some great articles there and reading on it. And that's kind of what I did. I started educating myself on the concept of patient-centered, outcome-based care and how that would work and how it does work. And that's what I would do. For those entering any of the programs at WGU, my best advice is scheduling and planning. For example, this one, I started the Master in Healthcare Leadership in January of this year, which was, as we know, COVID began and we were sent home and lives totally disrupted in March. And so I had to reshuffle and reshift and figure out priorities on how to do everything and keep the degree moving forward. And WGU was extremely helpful in the fact that the way that they support their students. If you have an issue or a problem when you are working in your courses, WGU will be there. There's help for you. There's help for you at every step of the way. And that's what I've found really the most remarkable about the program. So I would just say plan. I would just say schedule your time and reach out when you need it, because there's always someone there to help you.
Very good. Robert, thanks for the time again. We appreciate it very much.
No, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the WGU Alumni Podcast. To learn more about WGU alumni and commencement, visit wgu.edu/alumni. To learn more about anything you heard on this episode or to hear past episodes, visit wgu.edu/podcast. This podcast was produced by the WGU Alumni Relations Department. Special thanks to producer Bethany Tucker from the WGU Production Studio. And thank you to our WGU Alumni Network, now more than 200,000 strong and growing.